Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Read the Word. Glad to have you with us here again on another morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that you stick with this program. And you allow God to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going to tell you right now, I just clicked the wrong button. Let's see if everybody's still there. Looks like everybody's still there. Let's try it again. I'm going to tell you right now in Jesus' name that this is one of the greatest discipleship processes I have ever seen. It's one of the most interesting growth and development tools that I have ever witnessed in the body of Christ. Now, some of you, that might not mean anything, but I've been around the church now for 59 years. Like, literally, I have been around the church now for 59 years. And I've just never seen anything that works like this, because it's the Word of God, and you're not doing anything except reading it. But as we read it, then God begins to speak, and life begins to happen, and changes begin to happen in people's lives because you're reading and you're hearing and you're listening to the Word of God. Now, it's one of the most interesting things I've ever done. Now, it's not the only thing I've done, but I have been so impressed with this, not because I'm doing it, but because I'm not doing anything. I'm reading the Bible. But the Holy Spirit shows up, and he doesn't ever fail. He just never fails. And so, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful love, mercy, and grace, and for this wonderful program that we have here called the Community of Faith. Now, and reading the Word. I'm trying something new here tonight, I know I'm clicking while I'm talking, but we are in the life and times of Jesus, and I am so thoroughly enjoying this because this gives us the ability to get a picture of Jesus, and like a right now picture of Jesus. And then tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to see that picture of Jesus again. And then tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to see that picture of Jesus again. And you know what wisdom the Holy Spirit had when he had these different writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, write what they saw. That's the power of this. We are writing what we have seen. And the Apostle John said, I can't keep quiet. I'm going to tell you all that I have seen and heard of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I've gone waxing eloquent, as the one man would say, and I really should just get to reading the Bible because we got a good portion tonight. But I just encourage you that you truly take this with the greatest sincerity and realize this isn't just something we do because we're bored. This is an assignment that God gave us. Therefore, it's filled with anointing and grace. It's filled with his anointing and his grace. And so tonight we're in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 11. Then we'll have a circle of wagons, and we'll pray the prayer of salvation. And here we go again on another Read the Word. Want to say it with me? Oh, yes. Say it with me. I receive this word tonight.
I receive this word tonight.
Right out of God's holy word.
Right out of God's holy word.
With the Holy Spirit flowing inside of my life.
With the Holy Spirit flowing inside of my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Now, here we go. Luke chapter 10. The 70 are sent out. Whoops. Hold on. Got to write my notes down. Luke chapter 10. The 70 are sent out. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. And I'll hold this up. Bind me a lectern. Before his face, let's start again. Verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. They were the forerunners. They were the prayer team. They were the initial ones to heal the sick, cast out demons, and then tell them, you've been free. Now, Jesus is coming, so get ready. He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That word send is ekbalo in the Greek, and it means send them out with great force. Hurl them out into the harvest field. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals. And greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. I think most people would benefit from saying, peace be to this business when they get a new job. Mm-hmm. Because if that peace doesn't come back to you, that peace don't rest and it comes back, don't work there. You're going to have a fight. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit tells you to be there. But you can use this principle in every area of life.
Yeah.
And if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you today. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I say to you that it'll be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. Now, if more of us would practice that, it would make an amazing difference in this world. Mm-hmm. Because the garbage that goes on in that city would not continue to go on because listen, it's not you. It's not you. You're not the one doing the curse. Jesus is. You're knocking the dust off and making the proclamation Jesus made. Don't suck your thumb. Don't be offended. But if you got to say it, say it. Because it'll stop this wicked agenda that's in them cities. Because it's going to be bad for them. Because they didn't receive the preaching. 13. I know that's not one of them doctrines to make you get up and run around the church. But hello, it's one of the ways that God gave us to stop evil on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't do it, so then evil just continues to go. See, the eyes of some would be wide open. 13. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. See, it's not about you. It's about the fact that they're rejecting the Jesus that's in you. Don't get hung up on yourself, because that's what causes people to get hurt feelings and offenses, is you're hung up about yourself. No, Jesus said, it's not you. They're rejecting me. So, whatever. Verse 17. So the 70 went out. Now verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. How cool is that? And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, there's a lot of people that will get all flat out excited about the fact that the demons are subject to him. Well, that's cool. I like it. I like to be able to speak to a demon. But Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that when you cast a demon out, that person's now going to get their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the rejoicing. I'm telling you what, quit making a big item out of the devil. He's nothing more than just an enemy that has been defeated by Jesus. He's already nailed to the cross. Don't make a big issue out of him. 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have done these things, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus is talking to the Father. This is how you and I talk to the Father every single day. We talk to him about absolutely everything in our lives. That's what I've been teaching you. That's what the Holy Spirit's teaching me. And I'm going to just keep speaking it. 22. I'm in Luke 10, 22. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things. For I tell you that many prophets and holy men, kings, have desired to see what you see, and they have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. In other words, don't take for granted what you're seeing, because there's billions of people around the world that have never seen it. And you and I got to take it to them. And we're doing it. The parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to them, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he not only said what's written in the law, but when you read it, what'd you get out of it? Wake up. So he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. That's the two commandments that all the law and the prophets hang on right there, those two commandments. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus just gave you a serious compliment for answering right in front of everybody. Don't mess it up. Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Wow. That's just a nasty person. "Now, by chance, a certain priest came by that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.'" This is a true story. Jesus taught a parable saying, it'll say that. But this one says, "A certain rich man." This is a real person this happened to. Verse 30. "So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou likewise." And you notice, he doesn't say anything else to Jesus. Because how do you miss, especially in their day, remember this, Samaritans were seen as a low class of people, prejudiced. And so, 38, "Happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Here's the Mary and Martha story. "Martha was very distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" Now, I want you to know something. Whether you're a man or a woman, if you are worried and troubled with many things, you got the spirit that was on Martha. The spirit of busyness, but not the spirit of sitting at Jesus' feet. You got to break it. Can't just sit around all day. But you can't be worried and troubled by many things. 42. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." And what was that good part? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Chapter 11. Now you'll notice in the title, I put in there the disciples' prayer. I want you to realize something about this prayer. Brother Hagin said this, and I thought it was really good. This really should be titled the Disciples' Prayer, because Jesus prayed it to show them how to pray. Because Jesus can't say, "Forgive me of my sin," because he did not sin. Right? Let's read it. Chapter 11, verse 1. "Came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'Pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now think about it. He called it a sin and then indebted. Interesting study that you need to do right there.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what those two words mean. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, Matthew adds the verses, and if you don't forgive your brother, you will not be forgiven, as part of the prayer. Luke must have had somebody tug on his arm right about then when Jesus was teaching, because he didn't put it in there. No, it's Holy Spirit directed. Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 5, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You got 9 minutes to get here. We don't have 3 loaves. We'll give you 3 cans of relish and some green salsa. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. He will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, that word persistence means shameless persistence. That means I need some bread. Come on, bro, you're my bro. Give me some bread. I know you got bread. You make bread, and we didn't make bread, but I'll bring you some next time. Shameless persistence. Now watch. Then Jesus said, so I say to you, ask. How? Shamelessly persistent. When you study that word ask, it means to ask and keep on asking. And it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on speaking, and you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. But if you knock once and then walk away, you're not determined. Some things we do in God, we're going to speak at one time and bam, it's going to happen. Some of the rest of it is, are you going to be diligent about the vision that he gave you and enter in? So keep asking. You have 2 stories in a row on 1 page of Jesus telling you to keep asking. No matter what prayer warrior says, pray it once and then forget about it. You better make sure you do what Jesus said. Because if the Holy Spirit says, pray it, and then praise about it, then do it. Because it's already done. You got to realize both of these principles are in the Bible. And now, what does it come down to? It comes down to your relationship with God, what he tells you to do, and which one he tells you. Verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I love 13. It's one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. If you then being evil or a human, because once we're born again, we're not evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father, give me the Holy Spirit. And just like that, I can feel it. Experiencing it. You say it. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, he was casting out a demon and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, the mute spoke, the multitudes marveled. Some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them. It's a gift of the Spirit why Jesus knew their thoughts. Over and over, right here on this program, you'll hear me say, well, I can tell I'm ministering to somebody tonight. Listen to this word. And what is it? Somebody's thoughts are being revealed to me. Now, you're not standing in front of me, so I don't know whose thoughts it is. So nobody ever be offended about it. But this is what it proves. Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and I spoke what's going on in your mind, and you ought to be going, jaw drop situation. Because God just spoke to your thoughts in front of everybody to give you an infallible proof that he knows where you are, and he knows what you're doing, and he wants you to know he knows it.
Amen.
And then that helps you. Oh, where are we at? 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house fails. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But the problem was, their sons were not casting them out. They didn't know God. So people were still bound in the synagogue where they taught and preached and everything held their own. 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. 23. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Very interesting. 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. He considers the person that just had the demon cast out, he considers that his house. But he's going to go back to it. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. That's why you got to cast a demon out. You got to get him born again. You got to get him filled with the Holy Spirit on the spot. Why? Because then the house is full, and the enemy can't come back. 27. Happened as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. He said, more than that, blessed are those who keep the word of God, who hear the word of God and keep it. For some reason, that's not underlined. My Bible. Keep your Bible underlined. Seeking a sign. While the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Seeks a sign. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be a sign to this generation. Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom. And you won't even go across town. But Jesus is saying. Of Solomon, indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. And who was it? Jesus. 33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, put on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Pastor, how in the world can that be? We'll get it in just a minute. If then your whole body is full of light, that's what happens when Jesus comes in. Having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. The Lord said to him, "Now, you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." Jesus didn't wash his hands on purpose. The Father said, "Don't wash your hands." Oh, by now Jesus is flowing hand in hand with the Father going, "I got you. We're getting ready to confront something right here. Your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." 40, "Foolish ones, did not he who make the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you." It's an interesting verse. Give alms of all things you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. That's an interesting verse.
Yes.
"Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the law of God." They would literally divide their salt out on the table and give a tenth of it to God. But they were filled with greed and wickedness. "Woe to you, Pharisees." Whoops. "These ought you to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogue and the marketplace. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them, like nobody's paying attention to you." Wow, you're dead. "One of the lawyers answered and said to him, 'Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also.' And he said, 'No, duh.
Yeah.
Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burden with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God has also said, 'I will send them, and some of them they will kill and persecute,' that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation."
Wow,
you don't want that on your back. "From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say. They might accuse him. But you weren't going to accuse Jesus. because Jesus had learned to only do what he saw the Father do and only say what he heard the Father say. Now, circle the wagons, and then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Jesus said, if your whole body is filled with light, then if your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body will also be filled with darkness. What's going to fill your body with darkness? What you're beholding with your eyes. These eyes in this book, spoken by this mouth, heard by these ears, will give you light. These eyes watching that crazy TV and the garbage that comes on there will fill your heart with darkness. And Jesus said, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. What happened to my screen here? Take heed that what you're seeing isn't filling your heart with darkness. Because if you're not careful, what you see is also going to be what you hear. And what you see and hear is going to go in here and fill your heart with darkness. That's how it works. Oh, Pastor, it's just a TV show. No, it's not. It's a discipleship process for communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism. That's their discipleship process. That music of the world is filled with witchcraft. You got to get it out. MTV, do not go there. I haven't watched it in years. I can't imagine what it's like today.
Oh, my.
Can't imagine. It was horrible.
Yeah.
The last time I saw it, which was probably 15 years ago. Who knows? Long time ago. It was horrible then. Why are you giving us this warning? Because I can sit here and preach to you the greatest gospel and the greatest deliverance. And when you turn me off and turn that filth on, everything I just said to you goes whoosh, and it's gone. Because it's your choice what you turn on. God wants us to be filled with knowledge and filled with joy and experience life. But there's a whole lot of stuff to put inside of you that's very much filled with virtue and the blessing and healing of God. And it will grow and develop and establish you in God and in his ways. And I just encourage you, fill your life with the word of God. Time is way too short. You got all eternity to enjoy a whole part of life you'll never know because it doesn't exist here. But this is too close to the end, and there's too many people we know that have no idea about Jesus, and you and I do. And therefore, their blood will be on our hands when we get to the other side, and you don't want that to happen. You don't. We preached a great message tonight on our program that will help you know how to reach your family and friends in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. This is our time. That was my circle of the wagons. That was the fireside chat. Goodness sakes, come on. Fireside chat. And we didn't start a fire anymore. Mm-hmm. I like fires. When I have a fire, I like them big fat marshmallows.
Yeah.
Toasted over the fire.
And s'mores.
Say again?
And s'mores.
Oh, my. Yeah.
S'mores.
And then you heat it over the fire, and then you pull that skin off, and then you heat it again, and you pull that one off, and then you heat it again, and you pull that one. Like them big marshmallows. So anyways, I want you to pray the prayer of salvation with me tonight. If you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, that I want to know you, God, in 2 minutes, according to the word of God and his covenant, you will be right with him. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
If I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish. Here's your chance. Make a bold declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Put your hands out and just do it in action. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
And make me white as snow.
And I will live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. You found it. You're here. You made it. Glory be to God. Here you are. How awesome is that? In that 2 minutes, Pastor, what happened to me? You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin, which can't beat, to Jesus' righteousness, which destroys sin. All of it, God came and brought and put within your life in that 2 minute prayer. Not only did he do that, he adopted you into his family, and you are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. Right here, right now, tonight. It started. What time is it? It's 12:14 a.m. here where I'm at, Central Standard Time. It started, and you are now a child of God. Look at your clock. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your phone. And just learn this. You just started a whole new life. You did. God just came to live on the inside of you. He's going to direct you now from in here out, not from up there down. He lives in you. He lives in you. Your spirit man has been brought to, it died under Adam. Your spirit man has been brought to life, and you are in perfect communion with God Almighty. Now all we got to do is get Akabasa fixed and get you discipled in the ways of God and in the word of God. You might say, Pastor, how am I going to do this? Every morning when you wake up, before you get out of bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he's going to look from heaven and say with the most loving terms, you got it. Let's go. You ready to get up? You stink a little bit. Take a shower. Will God really say that to you? He's going to say all kinds of things to you. You're going to be making something on the stove, and he's going to say, add a little bit of this. And you'll be like, is that God talking to me? Yeah. Yeah. And you'll add it, and you'll be like, wow, that's the greatest taste I ever tasted in my life. Why? Because God cares about every bit of that. in Jesus' mighty name. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell so you can stay connected with us. Right down there, there is a link that says the full Read the Word playlist link. It has all 298 videos in it that we have made in Read the Word this year. You can start at the beginning of it and go all the way through the Bible. I think you could probably get it done in about a month. You could catch up to us. And the development and growth that it would give you spiritually is absolutely amazing, because every bit of it has been led and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And glory be to God for that. We've got lots of ways to help you. I got 10 verses I want to give you, a couple introductory videos that I want to bless you with. It's all on YouTube where you can find it. It's free of charge. We just want to be a blessing to you. So, send me an email. Tell me who you are. Tell me where you live. Tell me your story. Give me a testimony. Send me a prayer request. Most of all, get connected and ask any question you want to ask, because it helps us all grow and develop in the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Remember, Sunday morning, we receive communion together right here and Read the Word. So make sure you're here bright and early in Jesus' mighty name. And besides that, until we see you again, anything else we got to say? Are you sure? You're the wife. You remember everything. Amen.
God bless you, and God bless our community of faith, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.
Not every man is willing to say that, are they, Phyllis?
Not intelligent.
Hallelujah. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
We do.
We do.
And God loves you. And he does.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Share this with your friends and family. We call you blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.